This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Some shows talk about one team. Other shows barely talk sports. This show will talk Packers, yeah! Brewers, yeah! and Bucks, yeah! every day.
Every day.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily
with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Download the Wendy's app today.
It is time again, hour number three. How y'all doing? You liking the FM? That's right. Now on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Always sounds better in FM, right? Isn't that the thing they always say in radio? I've always been a big AM guy, but I got to admit, man, when you're on FM, you just, the tones sound better. Like, your voice sounds better on the FM dial than it does on the AM dial.
I'll take your word for it, man. I always think AM sounds better to me.
Text your girl, tell her, hey, honey, turn on 105.7 on the FM dial and then have 1250 on the AM dial, flip back and forth and be like, which one do I sound better on? She's going to tell you, you sound better on the FM.
I'll probably trust my dad more on that one than my girl, but...
I'm not asking my dad. No. That's just weird. I'm not doing that. Joining us now, he is the Packers' all-time leading scorer. He is a Super Bowl champion. He has his own radio show now. Weekday mornings from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. here on The Fan, along with Mitch Thunder Nellis. He is the one and only Mason Crosby. Follow him on Twitter at CrosbyKicks2. Mason, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me. Yeah, a little two-a-day here.
A little two a day. We don't have to do this every day. I just wanted to do it today to kind of help promote what's going on with you in the morning. So tell me, how did the whole process start? Because I don't believe you've officially retired yet, right? So, I mean, technically, you're still a available free agent if a team wanted you, but yet here you are doing a radio show.
Yeah, you know, this kind of started over the summer. We started discussing this possibility, and, you know, obviously being in Green Bay for as long as I was, this is a, it's just so good to get back into the market and be able to kind of talk all things Packers and Wisconsin sports, being there for 16 years. And, you know, like I talked about this morning with our, you know, my family being from there and all that, it's just a natural fit. So to be able to bring back these stations into the local market is just, it was an awesome opportunity. So yeah, as I'm sorting out this next phase of life, this has been a perfect opportunity to start the transition.
I don't want to just only talk about kickers, because I have a really good kicker, Mason Crosby, on, but I got to start there with you, because I was livid last year when they had Carlson in camp and brought no competition in for him. It was literally the only position on the roster that had no competition the entire camp last year, and I was furious about it. So then he goes into the season, he's missing extra points, he's missing field goals, every week he's missing something, and I'm just getting more upset. Then they ask Matt LaFleur, going into the playoffs, are you considering picking up a veteran for the playoffs? Nope, we're going to ride out with it. Okay, fine. He misses a kick in the San Francisco game. Yeah. That wasn't the only reason they lost the game, obviously, but it still was a field goal in a big playoff game. Now you get to the offseason. You bring a million kickers in this time, including a veteran in Joseph, and you go, okay, let's see what happens. Well, him and Joseph are relatively the same numbers-wise, percentage of kicks made, so forth. There wasn't a gigantic difference. You then cut both of them and trade for another kicker That's a rookie that has never kicked in Lambeau. And I said on the air at that point, what are we doing? You just went through the struggles of somebody trying to figure out how to kick it in Lambeau Field, which is not easy. And now you're going to take another guy that's never done it and live through the pains and agony of doing it again. If you were going to do this, you probably should have just kept Carlson and let him figure it out in year two.
Yeah, you know, I had some of the same thoughts. I mean, I could never claim to know all of the ins and outs of how like things work in the personnel department, how they sort through and decide who they're keeping, who they're letting go. I was fortunate enough to make it through cut day 16 times, so that was always a celebration. But yeah, it was a weird sequence, whenever they told me in the spring of 23 that they weren't going to bring me back. Kind of honestly though, there was kind of a period of time before the draft where it went back and forth. I heard some interviews on, and it was like, not sure, we're still kind of working through some of that. And then they draft Carlson, and obviously that was the end of my time there. And yeah, I agree with you. He didn't have a great camp. He wasn't kicking well. Kind of started the season okay last year, and then went through a rough patch. I mean, I talked about this morning, November is the hardest time of year. Like, you saw the game this last weekend. It's early mid-October, and it was 45 degrees to start, some rain, the field conditions start deteriorating, everything gets a lot tougher. The wind is so hard to read there in Lambeau, and it's just going to get harder and trickier throughout the rest of the season. So yeah, I was a little surprised at the sequence. They've done that in the past with the punter position, but not necessarily, obviously, with me being there for 16 years, they never made that move in the same way at the kicker position. But they had done some similar things, punter positions, 2021, J.K. Scott, guys, we were rolling through camp. Like, they had made the initial cut, and then we traded for Corey Bajorquez and brought him in, 4 days before the first regular season game. So some things, it's a reach. You're trying to get some value. You're trying to find something for the future. And you hit some, you miss some. I was definitely surprised at the amount of kind of investment, effort, time that you put into having Greg Joseph and Anders Carlson battle it out through spring, and then kind of an unproven guy rolling in, especially with the expectation with what this team is supposed to be this year.
Mason Crosby Show. Check him out weekday mornings 9 to 11 here on The Fan going forward. If you miss the show, listen to it on the Audacy app, AUDACY, or go to thefanmilwaukee.com. You can listen to that way too. This is something else I've been talking about. The fact that when I hear on a broadcast, now this is the second time I've heard it this last game, where I hear them say, well, he was missing kicks on both ends before the game, maybe less on this end than the other end, but he was struggling on both ends. When you're a kicker and you're missing kicks in pregame, who's helping you? Is anybody helping you? Are you all by yourself? Is a special teams coach there being like, hey, maybe we should make this adjustment. Maybe we should consider this. Maybe play it this way. Like, what is that process like before the game when you're trying to figure out the game conditions?
Man, I'm fortunately, I don't, it's been a long time since I was a young kicker. So, I sometimes can't even remember back to like what those conversations were whenever I was first starting out. But I had times, and I can't say truthfully that I've gone to every pregame and been amazing and felt really good going into every game. So that would be a lie if I said that. But it's some days, as I got older, especially, I just walk off if it wasn't going well, kind of regroup, and then go maybe hit a couple more kicks like right before the game started, just to kind of get back into the groove and just try to move on from some of that. Like, a lot of the pregame is just getting a feel for wind condition, footing, things like that, and then just getting your leg warmed up. I mean, once you get in a game time situation, if you've evaluated, you trust the wind, you do all that, you should just be locked in and hit the ball. I watched the game on Sunday, obviously, and the one that he missed to the right, and that's been, that's his miss, it seems like, right now, is pushing things out to the right. It's tough whenever you start kind of, if you're trying to make kicks and guide kicks in and, do certain things, it gets tricky out there. And I remember when
you got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod. That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
They put the new end of the stadium up. Away kickers would come in there, and I'd just look in their eyes sometimes, and I'd be watching their warm-ups, and I'm like, man, they're going through it right now, you know? So he's a young guy. He's getting in Lambeau for the first time, you know, trying to experience that. I don't know what they're saying to him, how they're managing the situation. Unfortunately for our position, can't really say much, especially in the pregame. It's just kind of get ready, get loose, do your thing, evaluate the conditions, and then you got to go out there and perform. So I learned, through my time there, I do all the work, all the little technical things throughout the week, and then once you go on game day, you have to go out there and perform. You can't be thinking and trying to make kicks. And I give a lot of credit. This is a long time ago. Had a bad year in 2012, and towards the end of the season, I remember Charles Woodson he was like at a practice, and it almost like snapped me out of it. It's the simplest thing ever, but he's just like, man, you can't try to make field goals. Like, you're a field goal kicker. Like, just go do your job. And it was like the simplest thing ever, but sometimes you get so much in your head and you're like, all right, I got to get my foot placement here. I got to hit the ball just right. Timing, all these things, that you lose sight of the fact that I made it to the NFL for a reason. And I have to go out there and execute whenever my number's called. And that, from that moment on, I made like the last few kicks of that season. Then 2013 had the best year of my career to that point. So there's moments in time that can snap you out of it, but sometimes you just have to cut it loose, and you got to put fear aside and make sure that you you're free as you go out there on the field.
We're gonna play some of this Matt LaFleur presser that he had a little while ago in Green Bay coming up, but he was asked, this is per Matt Schneidman, are the Packers considering a change at kicker? LaFleur said, quote, "I wouldn't say that right now. No." As a kicker and you're going through the struggles, how much are you paying attention to what the head coach is saying to the media?
Yeah, the Packers are always, going to keep everything close to the vest. They would say, no, we're not doing something, minutes before they made that call, to change something. So I don't always, you can't really take a lot from what the press conference and what, Coach LaFleur is saying. So, they're obviously evaluating it. They want to be as close to perfect as possible, and they want to execute at a high level. So they have another young kicker there in camp. The issue is, and I know a lot of people saying, like, get a veteran, do all these things. And I've heard, different names pop up and things like that. And there aren't a lot of veteran guys and like guys that like are going to want to step into this situation. You're going to have to pay them a little bit and things like that. And like, as they showed, 2 years ago, they just weren't willing to, make that investment right now at that position. And they wanted to just try to go young, find someone for the future and move in that direction. So that's kind of, unfortunately, it seems like the growing pains that they're going to have to kind of work through as they figure this position out.
But this is what I don't understand, Mason Crosby. I don't understand how you pay Rich Bisaccia $1 million, and he's like the highest paid coordinator or special teams coordinator in football, and then turn around and say, well, I don't want to spend a lot of money on the two most important pieces, the punter and the kicker, on both of those special teams units. Like, it doesn't seem to work one hand and the other hand.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a mindset that, I think somewhat of a guru. He had some success there with Daniel Carlson in Oakland, and some other guys that he hopefully could kind of shape and mold and do some of that, some of the work with, to get them to where they wanted them to be. But it's an unfortunate situation. I mean, I talked about it this morning as well, as like, the Packers have done a really good job at the quarterback position of like having a transition plan. But, at the specialist position, especially now with how it can be structured, there's not like a takeover plan. There's not a plan. There didn't seem to be a plan in place. I know we had JJ Molson. We had some guys in towards the end of my career. I think that they were trying to shape to be that next guy, and it just didn't work out. But That specialist position in my whole career, it was the punter position that was a revolving door. You know, I think my wife Molly did a kind of a rundown on the different snap hold punting combinations I had over the years, and it was an astronomical number, and it was just trying to find something, and it just didn't seem to always work out. But yeah, so sometimes that's you take a chance, you make a reach, and it's obviously been something that's not been great for the last couple of years, and it bit them a little bit in the playoff game last year. Again, not sure if that was technically the reason they lost, but as of right now, it hasn't lost them a game. But they need to shore it up before they get into the tough part of the season, and those. Those division games at the end of the season, now how they set it up, it's like those are going to be huge, and they're going to have huge playoff implications as we get down into December.
I have one last question. I'm just curious. Why don't quarterbacks hold anymore? I mean, when you have a backup quarterback that's been with the team for a while, that just seems to like a no-brainer. And obviously, the starting quarterback, if he's been there forever and isn't going anywhere, that would make even more sense to have the same holder all the time versus if the punter gets cut and moves on every year, you're having to start all over again with the field goal kicker. But I remember back in the day, quarterbacks used to hold the ball.
Yeah, they did, and I think that ended like with Tony Romo, and Chase Daniel held for a long time and was a journeyman and was an excellent holder. Aaron, I give him, that's kind of where our relationship started, was my rookie year during camp. He held for me a lot, and I didn't complain. I didn't it was like we started getting a good working relationship, and other guys like that he'd hold for, if they didn't like it, they'd kind of get after him a little bit. And so I think our rapport kind of grew through that. And then it's just work. It's the time that needs to be spent. If you saw us, like a lot of people don't see what the specialists do on the side or in the indoor and all that. I mean, the punter is catching 100 balls off a jugs machine to practice his drop for punts. He's catching 100 snaps to for holds. I'm making sure the lean, everything, the spot, all that is right, every day, 100 plus times. So you just can't get the reps with a quarterback. They have so many other responsibilities that the punter has an expectation that they can never drop a punt snap or a field goal snap, and it needs to be perfect every time. So the demand on that just has really increased. And I mean, it's crazy when you watch the operations from when I started in the NFL to what it is now. I mean, it is a really detailed machine, and it's impressive how good these guys are on a daily basis.
I swear to you, the next time I have you on, we will talk about things other than the kicker. I promise you.
That's all good.
I promise you.
It's an important piece right now.
It is. It is a talking point for sure. Mason Crosby, check out his show, The Mason Crosby Show, weekday mornings, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. If you missed the debut episode with him and Mitch Thundernellis this morning, check it out at, again, thefanmilwaukee.com, or download, listen on your Odyssey app, AUDACY. If you're listening in different parts of the country, different parts of the state, you can also stream the show on your Odyssey app as well. Follow Mason on Twitter at CrosbyKicks2. I can't wait for show number 2 coming up tomorrow morning. Mason Crosby, thank you so much.
Yep, check us out 9/11. It's going to be another great one.
Cannot wait. 9 to 11, Mason Crosby, tomorrow morning here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. The Fan, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.